Mosiah chapter 19. In the first two verses, we learn that Almah and his people had taken off, and the army of Noah had chased him and was unable to find him or catch him, and this was and therefore the army of Noah had returned. And then it tells us that the army of Noah had been reduced in size, which, you know, is common amongst wicked governments, because, see, they claim that they need your taxes and everything to build a strong army to protect you against an enemy. And then after they have their big army and they have a big show of force against the enemies, then they begin to claim, well, we don't need this big army anymore. And then, but notice that the taxes don't reduce, and he then uses that money to build up his government size, or in order to have more people involved in his involved in his conspiracy. Not that it's an open conspiracy to everybody in it, but then he can have a greater support through. Because these people's lives depend on it, and anyway, the general idea is that's the common thing. Well, now that the righteous have been cast out, that means that now these righteous that are willing to follow Alma and the Lord, now that they're gone, the Lord withdraws a lot of His protection and support. And so, therefore, contentions begin. And why do they begin? Because, again, as we're talking above, the way Noah has had success in his government and reign is by bleeding the economy that was built up under Zenith. And now that's starting to take effect, and people are seeing this effect. And not only that, it's starting to see that as he builds up the government, all the lower leaders in the government are exercising dominion and starting to push people around a bit, and they're beginning to annoy the people. And this is a lot easier when the numbers were smaller, like with these people, and they aren't a big government like ours. But nonetheless, it's the same thing. It's just that because our government is so gigantic that people are just far more intimidated. And also, the people began to see the wickedness of the high priest and Noah, because that couldn't be hidden for too long. And the rumors of that started going around. And as we saw here, Alma knew of it, and then later we see that Limhi knew of it. And people knew of the iniquities and knew that things weren't right in the heads of the church and the heads of the government. Also, we noticed that Alma had these followers. Well, obviously, people knew these followers who had followed Alma, and they said, well, they were good people. Why did King Noah say he wanted to kill them? I mean, what did they do wrong that they had to be killed? I mean, they were in full support of Alma and his followers, but they still didn't understand if this was supposed to be a land of freedom and Noah was supposed to protect him. Why was he killing anyone who was just following their own conscience and were a good person? So therefore, there was a lot of contention in the land. Well, all of a sudden, this breaks out into fighting, and a man called Gideon attempts to slay Noah. And then the armies of the Lamanites are coming, and so therefore, he breaks off the attack, and Gideon breaks off his attack of Noah, and the people begin to flee then from the armies of the Lamanites. And as they're fleeing, the armies of the Lamanites begin to overtake him, and so Noah tells the men to leave their families. Well, this is an important thing, because we're getting a big division here. We see that because Noah, where Noah's true values were, even though he was claiming to be the head of the church and care about families. Obviously, we care about all churches have cared about families, because we know that is the basic unit that the Lord has set up to teach us about the kingdom of God, meaning the family is in similitude of the Lord's big family, and there is where we learn the love more directly and more concentrated that the Lord has for us, and that He expects it to have for our whole fellow man as a family. But in our small families, it's the starting ground, and it's easy for us to learn a lot about love and in that unit. And all of a sudden, we see that Noah, even though he'd talked to families, he really cared more about his leadership and his power and his support. And so, therefore, we we see that he tells them these are families, even as we can see today that even though there's a lot of lip service about how the churches in Utah and this area are family oriented, the fact is that when it comes down to really taking care of the poor or really getting the oppression of the government off the family and teaching the true principles of freedom and stuff as taught in the Book of Mormon, the leaders don't want that because they're just as much enjoy the power and the glory and of their positions high in the church as the government officials do, and again they therefore become somewhat of a hypocrite, meaning that the only real important unit in any church or anywhere is the family, and it is not this big organization called a church or a government or a business. Well, they begin to flee. Well, some won't flee, and they stay and have their daughters come out and plead. But now the point is, there's another big division there. Some will not flee in that case. Well, then the Lamanites come and as they overtake them, they decide not to sit and kill all these women and children, and you know they're charmed by the beautiful daughters of the Nephites, and so therefore they agree to set up a tributary state where where 50% of the produce is then given to the Lamanites, or a 50% tax, and Limhi, the son of Noah, is made king. Now it shows that there is some righteousness or good in Limhi, because he wouldn't even follow his father, and he could see that this was just wrong, and he had stayed with the other men. Well, the other men who followed Noah, they finally realize this is just terrible. They've got out there, they see where they're at, and they're right down in the depths of great iniquity and wickedness, and they just can't handle that. So they kill Noah, and Noah's priests flee, and they determine to return back to their own land. And we notice that again, that they killed Noah by fire, as Abinadi said they would, and then we see that in the last part of this chapter that they have peace in the land. Now, I've told a story here, and it would seem, well, what kind of a commentary is that? Just to tell the story. If we're paying attention to the story, we'll see what is being told by the Lord here, is that He is setting up the idea of that there are several kingdoms in heaven, which we all know there are, but He's showing. He is setting up the ordering of these kingdoms. And the important thing to remember here as I go through them is to note that this is talking about men in this world, which men, we are not confined, or we haven't set our state in this world. While we're in this world, we always have time to repent so that we might move up to another kingdom. We also need to remember that the Lord is interested in He wants us to be exalted, but at least to become to the celestial kingdom to live with Him. Now we've got to remember that is His desire, and so most of Scripture is talking about what the requirements for the celestial kingdom, and He's not going to talk about the other kingdoms, because that's not where the Lord wants you, and that's not where He wants you to have your desires. Well, we then see that based on what is the things that Abinadi has went through, and when we begin to see what Alma went through and will continue to go through, we see that these are symbolic of what is required to be exalted. And then we see that the followers of Alma, they were willing to follow Alma kind of in a group, as long as there was a group of them together and they had the companionship of each other, they were still willing to give up all. And therefore we see that that's symbolic of the celestial kingdom. And then we had those that when trouble comes upon them when a great division comes amongst the people, and when the tax of the Lamanites come, and all this strife and everything happens, and they're pushed into a choice position, they choose good, and they make an honest choice, as these did, they're willing to even die for what they know to be of some value, meaning their families and so forth. And so, and it's not of some value, it's of great value. And So they make the choice, and there we begin to have the terrestrial. And then finally, we have those that are out in the wilderness, and given the situation that they're right in the depths of all iniquity, and they've got to make the most, and they're therefore pushed to the point where they're making the choice to support sin at all costs. At the last second, we'll say, not that the timing is important, they begin to say that they see there's absolutely no value in this complete iniquity, so therefore they turn back, and we begin to see that we have a telestial group there. And then we see those that are completely wicked all the way to the end, which was Noah and his priests, and they had just completely chosen evil, and then we have those that are going to be cast off. And we get a pretty good feeling of the numbering, and the other reason that we can feel this is a good explanation of the kingdoms of heaven is because and kind of a general idea of who will go there is because of the numbering. And the Lord has said that the number that are coming to live with him from this world are few, and he keeps saying the true followers of him are few, and that's because that's totally not because the Lord doesn't want everybody in heaven. It's or in the celestial kingdom. It's because we make the choice not to go there, and it's totally our choice. And again, I feel to repeat that most of Scripture is talking to people and setting the requirements for coming to the celestial kingdom, because that's where the Lord wants you, and the way that you get there is by choosing the Lord over anything in this world.